77.
Celebrating 100 years.
WABC.
It's The Other Side of Midnight with Frank Morano. 77 WABC.
The toe. If he hollers, let him go. Eeny, meeny, miny, mo. Scab your paw, swings its shoulders, ma. Scab your mock, swings its shoulders, pa. Scab your you swing it, so do I. Scab your eyes, swing it, so do you. When he turns that handle down, music goes around and round. Everybody starts to sing. Do that organ grinder swing. Tra-la, bop, swing.
Organ grinder swing. This is The Other Side of Midnight. I'm Frank Morano. Well, a few hours ago, we got the results. We were informed that California will not be recalling Governor Gavin Newsom. He survived in spades. It was not at all close. It was about 66% of Californians or so voted not to recall Gavin Newsom. The leading Republican who was running was Larry Elder, and somebody that knows the California political situation better than anybody is the former spokesperson for the California Republican Party. She also happens to be a nationally syndicated talk show hostess. She hosts a show called All American Radio, which is heard all over the country, including on what used to be our sister station, KABC. She also happens to be a veteran political strategist and a good friend of mine, Jen Kearns. Jen, thanks so much for joining me on the radio.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So, Jen, I think a lot of people were predicting in the waning days of this recall campaign that it would not succeed. I don't think a lot, at least I didn't, I'll speak for myself, I don't think a lot of folks thought that it was going to be as lopsided as it turned out to be. What were you expecting? Did you think this race was going to be a bit tougher and a bit closer?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I know you and I talked off the radio over the weekend about this, about what the numbers were looking like. I think I shared with you at that time that I had heard that his lead was in the double digits. That was a week ago. That was before Joe Biden and AOC and Barack Obama came in to, give Gavin Newsom a huge boost. I think that is really what's responsible for this landslide that happened in the California recall. I also think there is a New York connection here because I know you're a New York City audience. I don't think you can underestimate Andrew Cuomo's odd role in tonight's California recall election. And here's why. I think if Cuomo had not recently been ousted, Democrats across the country, especially at the national level and especially at the White House, they wouldn't have been facing this prospect of two fallen Democrat governors in the two largest states in the country and the two biggest blue states in the country. And I think if it had not been for Andrew Cuomo getting ousted in New York, you probably wouldn't have seen them rush to save Gavin Newsom, but they could not afford to have the national story be that in the better part of 30 days, two of the top Democrat governors in the United States of America were ousted primarily over their COVID policies. So that'll be, one of the more interesting points of the recall. But sure, the second, I think, most interesting point, Frank, is the fact that it was such a landslide. I do think that Joe Biden's presence there, AOC's presence there, Barack Obama's presence there certainly helped. And it does appear that in the final 5 days, just over 96 hours, boy, what a difference 96 hours can make. It looks like they doubled Gavin Newsom's lead.
So wow.
That shows you the power of parties really sticking together.
Now, your theory, and it's certainly an interesting one, of Gavin Newsom winning by such a landslide because of Andrew Cuomo's status in New York, I could see Joe Biden or the DNC or even maybe congressional Democrats not wanting to play into the image of a Democratic Party in disarray. But is that something that would really resonate with California voters? Does a voter in Los Angeles or San Diego really think, oh, well, you know, if Andrew Cuomo went down, we can't allow another Democrat to go down?
Well, yes, I do think it made a difference. And look, you see all the message points of the Democrat Party nationally in the last, you know, 5 to 7 days. It's that, you know, they can't have a Republican take over California. We can't have Republicans, removing our governors like this. I think it did have an impact. And although I don't think voters in California specifically went to the polls, with Andrew Cuomo on their mind, they did go to the polls with that in their mind of that they can't let Republicans gain any more ground. And I think that the New York race did play into that. There were some other interesting numbers here. And I think, Californians are going to be, sifting through the ashes over the next several days. Here were some other interesting numbers that I picked up, Frank, from the California recall. San Diego used to be the reddest county in the nation. They actually used to market this phrase in San Diego. Less than 10 years ago, they were the reddest county in the nation. And the recall there, they voted no at 60%. So that is significant. That shows you how much really the landscape in California has changed. Even conservative counties like San Diego went against the recall. Here's the other interesting thing, and I know you're pals with Larry Elder, who, by the way, was a class act all the way through tonight. He had things thrown at him. He was called all sorts of things. His character was defamed. Where does he go to get his reputation back, by the way? And he was a still class act in not allowing his crowd tonight to boo Gavin Newsom. Larry Elder here, I think, was one of the more interesting things. In San Diego, beat the former San Diego mayor, Kevin Faulkner. Larry Elder won by 42% last time I checked versus Kevin Faulkner's 17%. What this tells me is that people in the California Republican Party, in the base of the voters, they respect true conservatism. They respect people who are true to their word. Kevin Faulkner's been a guy who's been sort of a rhino over the years.
Well, I mean, don't you think part of it was, if you're a right-leaning voter in San Diego or anywhere in the state, if you're going to vote for somebody other than Gavin Newsom, it's clear that Elder was the most likely candidate. So you're going to probably vote for him rather than Cox or Falconer or somebody like that.
Well, but look, Kevin Faulkner ran on the fact that he had such this stellar record in San Diego, that he had, brought a great economy to San Diego. His own voters really rebuked him going for Elder by more than a 2-to-1 margin. Here's what's also interesting, and I think, again, this shows how much the state of California has changed and sort of slipped out of the hands of the California Republican Party over the last, 5 to 7 years. Orange County was also one of the most conservative counties in the nation, maybe outside of San Diego County and Westchester County in New York. Orange County also went 2-to-1 against the recall. That is significant. If you don't win the Republican strongholds of San Diego County and Orange County in the state of California, you are just not going to win a ballot or a recall election statewide.
Jennifer, given what you're talking about of how the electorate has changed in California, it sounds like this race was never within the grasp of any Republican. Is that true, or is there something that the Democrats did well, whether it's the Biden appearances or better organization or whatever the case may be, or that the Republicans did poorly to lose this race? Or was this always going to be the result, given the changing face of the California electorate?
Well, this is why you're such a great talk radio host, Frank. That is such a great question. Look, I think it came down to a few things. You notice in the recall race, the Democrats who defended the recall, defended Gavin Newsom in the recall, never actually defended Gavin Newsom's own record. You never heard a fellow Democrat saying glowing things about Gavin Newsom, did you? That is because Gavin Newsom is not even liked among his own Democratic Party, and his policies are really not popular in the state of California. That is why 1.7 million Californians signed their name on the dotted line to put the recall on the ballot in the first place. What I think happened here, Frank, is that the messaging really got away from the Republican Party, really got away from some of the campaigns here. And in the end, the Democrats were able to bring their folks home to roost and bring those independent swing voters and women voters home to roost by playing upon their fears of the COVID-19. They were able to beat the Republicans by making this race about COVID-19 and all the uncertainties that people feel about it and the fear that a lot of people still feel about it. They were able to make it about that instead of Gavin Newsom's many failures, including lying about wildfire prevention, which probably got people killed in the same way that maybe not as many killed as Governor Cuomo did, but certainly put people in harm's way, millions of people, in fact. The messaging, I think, really got away from Republicans who were doing for the last, 3 months, really talking about the jobs and the economy in California, the crime, the homelessness. But at the end, they just got beaten by the Democrats who banded together and really drove home the message of COVID. And I think the implications this has for states like New York and other swing states around the country for 2022, I think this was a dry run. This was sort of a drill by the Democratic Party. They were able to band together. They were able to do what Democrats do so well that Republicans often don't do because we're so busy fighting with one another. Democrats really were able to get together and say, hey, let's ride on the COVID-19 message. That really scares people. That really creates uncertainty. And we can stay in power by coalescing around that message. I think that message will work in certain close contests in the 2022 midterms, particularly among independents who still care about the COVID-19 information, and women voters really do care about that issue, too.
If people are just tuning in, we're talking with Jen Kearns. She's the host of All American Radio. You can check her out at jenkearns.com and All American News, right? You have All American News, Jen, right, which is a go-to American news source, right?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, and it airs on KABC in Los Angeles, which used to be our sister station. Jennifer, they say this recall election cost the taxpayers of the state of California $276 million. Two-part question. Is that just a gigantic waste of money? And given the fact that after spending $276 million in taxpayer money, California still has the same guy as governor that they did before spending all this money, is the recall procedure something that California should look at doing away with? Jennifer. You see, people can't handle the tough questions. You see? See, I mean, she's probably on a landline. And here I asked this tough question, and she panicked. She didn't want to look dumb. And she said, let me act like my phone got disconnected and not answer. You can't handle the tough questions, Jen.
No, I don't know what it is in my neighborhood early in the morning. It sometimes cuts out. Look, you were asking about the cost of the recall.
Yeah. Is this a waste of money, number one? And should Californians look at doing away with recall, number two?
Well, look, recall, contrary to what Democrats are talking about, over the last, few days about this California recall, it's only been done once before, and that was the recall effort against Governor Gray Davis, which happened to be more successful than this one. So, don't believe Democrats when they say, they'll try to recall every governor. It's only happened twice in 100 plus years of state history in California. So I don't think it's something that's really an issue. Especially given that the last one was nearly 20 years ago. In terms of the cost of the recall, look, the Democrats who've been in power in the state of California have wasted billions of dollars. You look at the grift alone in you know, Medi-Cal and some of these other programs, the uninsurance, unemployment monies and all of that stuff. Look, the Democrats only become fiscal conservatives when it's their guy's hide that is on the line. So look, and I hate to say, because I'm a fiscal conservative, as are you, I hate to say that, you know, $300 million is not a lot of money. But when you're dealing with a nation state like California that is the fifth largest economy in the world, it's not, again, I hate to say it's not that much money, but comparatively speaking, it really is not that much money. And it certainly is not that much money when you compare it to the billions of dollars that Gavin Newsom lost for the state when he shut down businesses for the better part of a year.
You mentioned the 2003 recall where Governor Schwarzenegger was elected. I think it's no secret that Governor Schwarzenegger was a very different type of Republican than Larry Elder is. Larry Elder is a pretty conservative Republican, a Trump Republican. Schwarzenegger is a much more liberal or at least moderate Republican. In some ways, was the best thing for Gavin Newsom the fact that a conservative Republican like Larry Elder was the top GOP candidate? Would the GOP have been better off if they've rallied behind someone a little less conservative and somebody that's a little more palatable to right-leaning Democrats and independents?
Well, look, Larry Elder, you know, even though he's a conservative, he really does represent much of Los Angeles. He's a guy, he's from South Central Los Angeles, from Compton. He's African-American. He's a pull yourself up by his bootstraps kind of guy. He's a self-made guy. He's worked hard all his life, and he has incredible name ID in the Los Angeles area. I mean, that was sort of proven in the last 72 hours when the Hollywood starlet Rose McGowan weighed in on the weird story that Newsom's wife sort of approached her and tried to make her go away in the Harvey Weinstein case, which, by the way, I do believe is true. But that's for another day. But look, the fact that Rose McGowan herself is a hardcore liberal used to call in to Larry Elder's show under a pseudonym and debate with Larry Elder, I think shows you how many people in Los Angeles really connected with Larry Elder, even though they didn't agree with everything that he stood for.
So the answer then is no. It was not a help to Gavin Newsom, the fact that Larry Elder was the top Republican opponent.
Correct. And what I think happened again is I just think the messaging got away from the GOP on this. It wasn't Larry Elder's fault. I think Larry Elder, you know, ran true to who he was. And I think that was the right approach. I think that's why you see Elder's numbers in the high 40s in many of the counties across the state. Had the recall question passed, there's no doubt about it, Larry Elder would have been the governor as we wake up tomorrow. But again, I just think that the messaging just got away from the overall GOP effort in the end when they made it about COVID. And I was on another program out west in San Diego just a bit ago, about an hour ago. And Lonnie Chin, who's from Stanford, actually made a great point. And he said, you know, the Republicans in the state of California won't win until they start presenting a more positive solution than the one the Democrats are currently offering. And so I think that is also instructive to Republicans, not just in California, but across the country. We can't just be the no mask party and the no vaccine mandate party. I mean, freedom is fantastic.
It's right. You've got to be for something.
We've got to have a plan. Okay, what are we going to do if you don't want to wear a mask and you don't want to get vaccinated? How do we move past COVID? How do we make sure that kids get to go back to school? We need to start presenting more yes things. We used to be called the party of no, and I always used to say this when I was spokesperson for the California Republican Party. We can't be the party of no. We are the party of yes. We're yes on freedom. We're yes on economics. We're yes on being able to own your small business and raise your family and create a life for yourself and your family that's better than the last generation. We are the party of yes, but we've got to get more specific on what those yeses really mean.
So we saw in Wisconsin when Scott Walker had faced a recall election that surviving that in some ways made him a lot stronger politically. It helped catapult him to a national profile and allowed him to actually run as a presidential candidate. Do you see the same thing happening with Gavin Newsom? He's got at least one more reelection, and then I'm sure he harbingers thoughts of a national political future as well. Will this resounding vote in his favor in this recall election bode well for his political future, both in California and nationally?
Oh, most certainly. I mean, with this survival of the recall election, Gavin Newsom immediately goes to the top of the 2024 presidential contenders list. He's very good friends with Hillary and Bill Clinton. Barf, barf, barf. But it's true. And with Governor Cuomo now out of the way, as I said at the outset of this, it certainly opens the field for Gavin Newsom. Here's a really funny, interesting thing. And I say funny because I watched the dynamic between these two play out for the better part of 15 years in California. Gavin Newsom and Kamala Harris actually don't get along. And so if Gavin Newsom survived the recall and then ends up becoming the favorite for the 2024 presidential election, as the Biden administration is kind of flailing about, and as Kamala has had really, really bad ratings over her mishandling of the border, that'll be the ultimate justice for Gavin Newsom, who kind of had to sit on his hands and let Kamala run for U.S. Senate when she wanted to run for that. It'll be really interesting to those of us who came up through the political game with the two of them to watch that dynamic and that fight sort of play out on the national stage in 2024.
Interesting, interesting. Did Larry Elder make a mistake by, before the election even took place, he and his supporters saying that if they don't win, it might be the result of a stolen election? We know California is a blue state with a lot of people that don't care for Donald Trump. Did that kind of rhetoric, did that remind people a little too much of Donald Trump as they decided whether or not they wanted to recall Gavin Newsom?
Maybe a little bit, but it was not the predominant factor. I think the COVID messaging was the predominant factor. The fact that the Democrat all-star team came in the last 5 days of the election, I think that was really more of what it was about. But certainly in the last 24 hours, we did start to hear of these instances. Here are some of the things I think that will have to be answered over the next couple of days. I'm still getting reports as of this hour, and that might have been why my call got dropped last hour. I was just texted something from someone in Calabasas saying that at sundown, which was around the time that Gavin Newsom accepted the victory results and gave his victory speech, they were still waiting in line at the voting center, the very Republican voting center in Calabasas, California. That's just north of Los Angeles. That's where the Kardashians live. It's a very Republican district. They had the same problem in Citrus Heights, which is a suburb, a mostly Republican suburb of Sacramento. Same exact photo. In that case, a video was shown. Someone who showed up at the polls right before 8 p.m. before they closed, and they were told that the wait time was 2 hours. Look, you can imagine, Frank, if these weren't white Republicans standing in line and these were African Americans in Georgia, the mainstream media would have been all over this. And it'll be interesting to see if anybody from the mainstream media covers this in the coming days. I saw at least 4 or 5 different districts. They were all Republican precincts where this was happening. And the lines were, I mean, it looked like a Trump rally. The lines were at least a mile long to get in and vote.
All right. So we covered Gavin Newsom's future. Let's talk about Larry Elder's future. Now, in some ways, it could be viewed that even though he's not the governor, he's the big winner. He got millions of dollars in free media. He dramatically expanded his media profile. He was a mainstay on Fox News, Newsmax, every conservative network, a lot of the conservative talk shows, not just in California, but around the country. Tell me, I know Larry has wanted for a long time to get back on television and have a regular TV show. Do you think that this election is a step in that direction for Larry?
I do. Look, I don't think that the pundits are right when they say, oh, he's going to run against Gavin in 2022. I just think that's a non-starter. There's a reason that Larry Elder, just like Arnold Schwarzenegger, ran in a very brief battle. Schwarzenegger jumped into the 2003 recall. My mentor was someone who advised Schwarzenegger on the recall, and my mentor always said, you know, if that recall election had not been just 45 days long, a Governor Schwarzenegger with lots of Hollywood baggage probably would have never waded into that. And I think the same is true of Larry Elder. I think to jump into something like that when you're a regular citizen and not a career politician is something you consider only when you have a very unique circumstance like a recall election. So I really don't see Larry Elder running again in a traditional race that would be very long, very lengthy battle against Gavin Newsom. I just don't think that's going to happen. I do think that Larry Elder's list, his grassroots list in California is probably magnificent now. So he could certainly play some sort of leadership role in California, maybe set up an institute, something like that. He would be great at a think tank out there. But yes, I was thinking the same thing. I could see him getting a Newsmax show, maybe becoming a Fox News contributor. And again, I think he was a class act all the way. And the fact that he kept his crowd tonight from booing Gavin Newsom, you know, the victor in this, I think really speaks to his viability there and his broad appeal as a
TV host. Jen, we're going to have to end it there. I very much appreciate the time, and I'll look forward to seeing you in studio again soon.
Sounds good. Thanks. Bye.
You want to comment on any portion of our discussion? Agree, disagree, comment as you see fit. 1-800-848-9222. That's 1-800-848-WABC. Well,